Never a dull moment, that's for sure. Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show on this Monday, May 20th. Good to have you here for the conversation. Our longest-serving contributor to the program comes to us from the great state of Texas. Alan Sachs, a professor of political science at the University of Texas in Arlington, on the line again. Good morning, professor.
Good morning. I watched the Mayor Pete Town Hall yesterday on Fox.
Did you love it?
No. he is a very glib person, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. He really doesn't, and that's a terrible thing for me to say about a Harvard graduate. Somebody asked him in the audience about, they didn't even talk about the Electoral College, they just talked about voting, and he wants to get rid of the Electoral College. He didn't say it exactly that way. He said, every vote ought to be counted, you know, in the audience, of course.
Every vote is counted.
And every vote is counted. And then but by implication, get rid of the Electoral College. Just vote, you know. It was about New Hampshire gets 4 electoral votes.
That's
all
correct.
That kind of good stuff. And he doesn't understand. He said,
well, they do understand it, and you know this, Professor. They can't win under the rules that have been applied,
right.
And so they've lost some
so they
elections.
They want to change everything. Change the rules of the game.
Exactly, so they can win. They can't win by the rules that have been put forth for the last 240 years.
But the audience got up and applauded. He got a standing ovation at the end. And Chris Wallace said, you got a standing ovation, you know.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, in order to change that, it requires a constitutional amendment.
That's right. The audience doesn't understand that.
This movement afoot out there, though, that is supported by some conservatives that I question their sanity. But there's a movement out there called the National Popular Vote. You know that.
Right.
And I don't know, something like 15 or 18 states have opted into this National Popular Vote idea. It's a pact. But the Constitution is clear.
We'll go to what happened nationwide in the popular vote.
Right. The problem with that is the Constitution specifically prohibits states from entering into pacts with other states without the express consent of the federal government, therefore the Congress. They can't do that. It's spelled out.
Mayor Pete kept talking about democracy. If we're going to call ourselves a democracy, well, Mayor Pete, we're not a democracy. That doesn't sound good, but we're not.
No.
The word democracy does not appear anywhere in the Constitution. The word constitutional republic, that phrase, does appear.
Yeah, the point being is, and people don't understand this, democracies, just like communism and socialism in socialist countries, democracies fail 100% of the time because
right.
at some point...
But if you tell people that, they're aghast at that, you know.
But it's not that hard to explain. When you realize that if it's just majority rules, we would still have slavery in the United States, potentially.
You are so right.
Because people say, well, we support that, even though it's completely wrong. That's why you have a republic. And what happens in democracies, people realize if they can vote themselves into the treasury, well, wait a second. We want to have, you know, everybody gets $10,000 a month.
It
great idea.
How bad our public schools are.
Exactly.
And even our universities. And then, of course, Kamala Harris comes out, along with other Democratic candidates. They want to get rid of President Trump's tax cuts. They want to... Boy, wouldn't that be a great thing to run on? We want to raise your taxes.
Yeah, they want to raise your taxes there. They want to increase the estate tax because here's something else, the death tax. Why should they get all that money? Well, let me give you an example. If you build a business and you want to pass it on to a family member, and yet the estate tax is 50% or 80% or whatever it turns out to be, what incentive do you have to build a business beyond that? You just sell it, spend all your money because the government's going to take it if you don't. So why build a business that goes from generation to generation? If the estate tax kicks in, it destroys that wealth. It destroys family farms. And here's what they don't explain to you either. In the South, there are a lot of family farms, black-owned family farms, that are destroyed every year by the estate tax because what happens is somebody is wealthy in land but not in cash. So in order to pay the tax bill, they have to liquidate the real estate, i.e. the farm fields, to pay the damn tax bill, destroying generational family farms, most notably those black farms
That's
in places
right.
like Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia.
And they want to spend more money. They think they're going to get so much more money if we raise taxes on our overpriced colleges and universities. Isn't that wonderful?
Unbelievable. And you can trace back 10 years now. It's a very simple thing to go back and look at. As soon as the federal government kicked the private sector out of making college loans and student loans, two things happened. First of all, student loans became much more expensive. You know, the interest rate on those accrues daily. Did you know that?
And this happened during President Obama's administration.
Correct. The interest accrues, it's daily accrual of interest. And then you've got these institutions, you've got one government entity loaning a third party, the student, a private citizen money to be spent at another government institution. And suddenly it went up on this side price-wise and on this side price. College isn't affordable. That's because the government got involved and took the private sector out.
Universities are way overpriced.
Yeah, and they're going to continue to be overpriced because they know they're getting the funding, guaranteed student loans. Oh, they're going to forgive all that debt? We can start over and charge them all over.
And then one student in the audience asked a question, of course, about college education is very expensive. What do we do about the debt? The answer from Mayor Pete, but he didn't do it this way, is, and by the way, the man explained he was going to Harvard next year. And Mayor Pete could have said, I'll tell you how to get your debt lower. Quit going to Harvard.
Yeah, that'd be one way to do it. I got an idea. Don't pay through the nose for an education that's no better than finding
Absolutely.
You a job.
Absolutely. Harvard is no better than a community college in many ways.
Well,
I'm
right. And the other problem, Professor, as you well know, we've sent a whole generation of kids to college. A lot of them that didn't need to be there. So we don't have people in the trades. You don't have people that are carpenters and plumbers and so forth that we need desperately that are good jobs. I mean, you could be 25 years of age right now, and you could have started at 18 getting an education in heating and air or in plumbing or in
That's
electrical.
Right.
You'd be making, you know, $60,000, $80,000, maybe $100,000 a year. You know how much debt you would have? Zero. You'd have money in the bank.
It's not education they want. They want a social life.
Well, that's exactly right, too.
But a lot of them, and they want to see some football games, and that's really what it is.
You know what the weird thing is, though, that I realized this? You don't actually have to attend the university to get tickets to the football game.
That's right.
Isn't that weird?
But it sounds so good. Like here in the area where I am in Dallas-Fort Worth, a lot of good community colleges, but they go to TCU, SMU,
sure.
Very expensive, and they go there because it's a social environment.
Yeah, and guess what? If you go to TCU, you can still buy tickets for Southern Methodist. It's still legal.
That's correct. I'm beginning to believe, though, that one of the great scandals of college and universities, not all, but many of them, many of the big ones, is these football players are just barbarians.
Well, there is, you know, I don't know what we fed the children over the last few decades, but when I was in high school, I weighed about 180 pounds. I was one of the biggest people on the football team on the offensive line. I wouldn't be anywhere. It's a small school, too, 150 kids graduating class. The last time I went to a football game a couple years ago, there wasn't a kid on the offensive line under 250 pounds. I'm like, where did these beasts come from anyhow?
The
high school. Yeah, it's incredible. Anyhow, Alan Sachs, professor of political science at the University of Texas Arlington. Sir, thank you as always.
Thank you. I'm mad today, as you can tell.
Yeah, I'm fired up. All right. Take it out on the kids. Teach
thank
them a lesson.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. The Steve Gruber Show. Find out more. SteveGruber.com. Drop me an email. Go to The Steve Gruber Show on Facebook. Don't forget about Twitter and Instagram. Drop us a note. We want you to be part of it. We'll be right back.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life and in every corner of America, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. The Army National Guard reacts to domestic operations in each of America's 54 states and territories, including Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and the District of Columbia. Each state National Guard's unique domestic role is to act as the first line of defense in support of civil authorities in their state. The Guard's emergency responses include search and rescue missions for floods, combating wildfires, hurricane and tornado recovery, and the presidential inauguration. The Army National Guard. We are always ready. We are always there. And in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.